not only is your fight harder today than it was yesterday, but it's easier than it'll be tomorrow. But you know, the word tells us about the releasing of demonic forces. And, you know, you and I have to be prepared. And there's so many things that we don't understand sometimes. And one of the things when I came in here, I was quickened about feelings, you know. Until we get these soulish feelings underneath our feet, the word says renew your soul. Amen. In other words, your spirit is born again.
Amen.
Right? But your soul must be renewed. But if your spirit is strong enough, no matter where your soul is at, you'll have dominion over your soul.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? So if your soul and your feelings are still taking dominion over you, that means your spirit's not strong enough.
Amen.
Does everybody got it? Because when I was baptized and filled with the Spirit of God, I didn't know the word. And there were a lot of things that were attacking me. And I would have certain feelings, but I remember the Spirit saying to me, no, no,
Amen.
No. So if your spirit is strong enough, you'll have dominion over everything, even if you don't even know the word. Because I didn't know the word. Amen? Now that the word has been, I've been taught how to feed my spirit with the word, now I'm able to begin to get the witness between what the Spirit has been telling me, because my soul is being renewed, and I'm understanding now. I'm able to interpret why he was telling me no. Does everybody understand that? So at one time he would just say no, and it was like, well, okay. You know, I didn't know why. I didn't understand. But as your soul gets renewed by the Word of God and the revelation by the Spirit, you'll find out that when the Spirit tells you something, he also explains it, if you're listening.
Amen.
Amen. And there are so many things that are happening right now to where, you know, the Word tells us, and if you'll go to wherever you want, Holy Ghost. Is everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1 through 3, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says, what Spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
Not just some spirit, and not a spirit of a man. It's the Holy Spirit that says. Expressly says. Expressly. It's like somebody's shaking you and saying, listen, this is really important. That in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Now it doesn't mean that they're going to give up on Jesus. Do you understand that? They could do that. It means that they're not going to walk in the way of the Spirit. They're giving up the faith. They're walking away from walking in the Spirit. Because you know what? Just because, you know, you and I can walk away from the faith on a daily basis. Amen?
Yeah.
In other words, you can be all right, I'm listening, and choose not to listen. And you're walking away from the faith. That's called walking away from the faith. It doesn't mean just totally severing yourself from it. Not that it can't lead to that, can it?
Amen?
Amen. But he says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So you got to understand that right now there are more deceiving spirits released than there was before. Okay? And it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So in other words, even though that you believe you're a follower and you know the truth, you can still fall from the faith. By taking heed to fables, by listening to the voice of the stranger. Has everybody got it? You know, so many times, so many people are trying to seek the voice that they pick up every voice. I mean, they're so busy trying to hear God instead of God, letting God speak to them. Hello? You know, if you let the Lord speak to you, it's different. If you're constantly trying to find His voice, so many times we pick up so many voices.
Yeah.
You know, when you're searching through the radio, you go through the station, you know, you're all of these voices. Well, this one, this one, that, until you finally tune in, right? But in the meantime, you're hearing all these voices. And if you don't have the discernment and you're not listening and you don't discern what is the voice of God, you can pick up anything. And the devil comes as a deceiving spirit and the imitation of the voice of the Lord, doesn't he? That's why, listen, so many people are trying to hear the voice when they say, God told me. 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 Man, I hear that over and over and over. And I'm not saying that God didn't tell them. But majority of the time, he didn't. Majority of the time, they picked up a voice that they think is the Lord. Remember, number one, God never interrupts himself.
Amen.
Amen. He doesn't cause us to stumble.
Amen.
And he doesn't just puff us up. He straightens us up.
Amen.
You know, if you see what the message was sent to the seven churches, the Lord exhorted them, and what did he do? He corrected them.
Yeah.
He exhorted them and corrected them. If somebody's always in exhortation and never in correction, they're listening to a familiar spirit. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Okay. So we got to understand that in the latter times, many will fall from the faith. Many will take heed of the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And you know, the more people listen to it, the more they listen to the doctrine and the voice of the stranger. And usually what happens is they mess up and they blame everybody else for it. Well, God told me. Then they blame God. Well, God, why did you tell me that? Because he said, I didn't tell you. You know, if you'll stop looking for the voice and let the voice come to you, most of the time, you're going to be impressed because the Spirit impresses and God and man expresses. And there will always be a witness in the Word or a witness somewhere else. And it will always be led by peace. People are real frickle and whatever. They're always, yeah, the Lord told me. No way could God cause that kind of hello? Franicky. I mean, you know, God, oh, no way. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So you got to understand that we're dealing in the spirit realm, aren't we?
Amen.
You know, when you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, when you open yourself to the Spirit of God, you open yourself to everything else too.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
When people fast, they open themselves to everything else too. You got to be careful. So you and I must have the discernment. Does everybody understand it? It's something that we learn. It doesn't come instantaneously. And as you renew your soul, you'll be able to interpret what the Holy Spirit has been saying the whole time. So it's a walk. You know, when you and I first get a dog, the dog doesn't really obey your voice, does he? I mean, you'd like him to. But he doesn't right away. In fact, you get to a point where it's not just about the voice, the dog hearing your voice. It's about you knowing one another. When you come home, he meets you. He knows what pleases you, and you know what pleases him. There is no spoken words. That's spirit to spirit or impression from each other. Amen? So many people are like, man, well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and whatever. But you know what? They're not. If you're not walking in peace, and if it doesn't happen, then God didn't tell you.
Amen.
Amen. So you and I must be careful, and it's because right now there is so much demonic activity being released, and one thing the Lord does not want us to do is fall out of fellowship, fall out of walking in the Spirit, and fall back from walking in the truth. He doesn't want us to be complacent and lazy and begin to get compromised, because he knows the powers of darkness are waiting for me and you. The Word tells us, make no plays for the devil. And we have to be careful. We can get caught up in a lot of things. We can get caught up in our families. We can get caught up in our job. We can get caught up in ourselves. We can get caught up in all kinds of things. We can even get caught up in ministry.
Amen.
Amen. I have to check myself a lot of times. There are some times when I just say, forget it. I've had it. Okay, Lord, here I come. Head first. Bam. It's like, you know, I can't do this any longer. So we've all got to come to a point when it's like, all right, we got to come to a surrender point, willing to really yield to the Spirit in every area of our life. That's where the peace, joy, and righteousness is in the total yielding and surrendering. People struggle because they're not willing to surrender. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. I guess it was a teaching in itself, huh? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, we have a wonderful teaching called Who Told You That?
Yeah.
in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, hallelujah, starting at verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are a what? Our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. How many of y'all know that everybody's looking at you? Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, which means anointed one. You're an offspring of the anointed one. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Wow, that's a lot different, isn't it? Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So there's been a heart change. And it's delivered by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Delivered by the Spirit of the Lord. And it says, and we have such trust through Christ, the anointing, the anointed one and his anointing, toward God. Not that our sufficiency is of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. That means relationship. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the what? New covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we know that the ministry of the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. We also know that the word Spirit means breath, doesn't it? It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? It's not the ministry of a spirit of a man. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, the letter was a representation of the Old Testament, wasn't it? Because it was written in stones. But you got to understand something. Without the Spirit in the New Testament, it's still letter.
Amen.
And that's where people get confused. They think because it's the New Testament that the Word of God is not the letter still. It can still be the letter. Can it? Because the Bible tells us that the God of this age blinds the people who are perishing not believing in the gospel, which means is the message of the Lord. Amen? Just a messenger or a message of the Lord. Go to verse 14. And it says it here, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Now we know that he's talking about the letter. Because the veil is taken away where?
In Christ.
In Christ. That means the anointing. Amen?
Amen?
But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And then he explains to you who the Lord is. Some people have a hard time with this. Now the Lord is the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
So you've got to understand that Jesus was the Spirit, right? Incarnate, putting on the Word of God, which was flesh. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we know that the Holy Spirit is transforming us, isn't he? Transforming us into the image and likeness of Christ. So he must take the letter and anoint it. The word letter in this representation written means logos. And then he turns it into rhema, which is life-changing. Life-changing. That's why Jesus was known as the rhema. He was a life-changing. He was a life-giving spirit. Does everybody understand that? So we got to understand that right now, because of the new covenant and the new testament going on, it's about spirits.
Amen.
It's about spirits. Why? Because Jesus came to reveal the spiritual realm to me and you. And people who are not willing to look into the spiritual realm are bound by the letter. The same thing is in the Old Testament. Is everybody with me? They can know the word inside and out. And they're still bound by it if they're not willing to have the Holy Spirit guide them and mentor them and have fellowship in the Spirit.
Amen.
They're still blinded.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Jesus came to remove the scales off of man's eyes by his Spirit. In fact, Jesus was known as the Word who became flesh. When the Spirit came upon him, he changed, didn't he?
Amen.
Something happened. He did what? He did miracles, signs, and wonders. The Word was beginning manifesting, wasn't it? The Word was becoming alive. Hello? So the Word must be anointed. The letter must be anointed with the Spirit. So if people are just involved in the Bible, and the Bible, and the Bible without the Spirit, the scales are still there. Hello? Because the scales are removed by the anointing. Hello? Okay. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And we can go on for a long time with that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Oh, hallelujah. You know, that Paul getting all these revelations through the Spirit, who writes by the Spirit, it says in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Why? Because he could write about it because Jesus came to expose the spiritual realm. Amen? So now you know that we're fighting against spirits. There's still people thinking they're fighting against one another. There's still preachers that will not cast out a devil. Because they have them. Satan can't cast out Satan. Hello? That's what the Word says. Satan can't cast out Satan. But do you understand that it's because without the Spirit of the Lord in your life, because it's a new covenant of the Spirit, the letter is the letter, and people are still being blinded. And they refuse to go to this area in their life. We get people that come from other organizations because their pastor won't cast the devil out of them. Bound by drugs and alcohol for many years. Hello? And no one's ever commanded the Spirit to leave them. They've prayed for them. They've done all kinds of things, but no one commanded the Spirit. No one knew about breaking curses and all kinds. These are realms of the Spirit that God has exposed to me and you by His Spirit. Amen. Accomplished by Jesus, because He came to expose the devil and his realm. Amen? And He came to open our eyes to the spirit realm. Because it's the ministry of the Spirit. So if it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit, that means that it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. That means the whole spirit realm is open to me and you now. That means that if you know, they know you know, and they're going to come after you because you know, and they don't want you to tell nobody else in case they might know. Hello. And then what they want to do is, because now that you know, they want to send some of their familiar friends alongside to try and deceive you. And that's where we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And many will fall from the faith by deceiving spirits." Hello.
Amen.
So you got to be careful. That's where you have to have discernment. Hallelujah. Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all to stand therefore, having put, gird your waist with what?"
Truth.
Let me share something with you. Truth is truth. Everybody get it? Listen, if you don't know the truth that you're not fighting powers of darkness, you're in trouble. And if you don't know the truth of how to fight them, you're in double trouble. Now, you may know that there's powers of darkness, but you may ignore them. You know, after you've done your 6 weeks here and you're out working, you better start binding and loosening devils or you're in trouble.
Amen.
Because the devil's going to test you to see what you know. And if you don't know, and if you don't know how to discern the fruit of a spirit,
amen,
you're in trouble.
Amen.
I remember one day the guys were out at a place. This dude went into convulsions, and they stood and watched him. And I came home. I said, "What'd you do?" "Nothing." They called a paramedic. I said, "Why didn't you cast that devil out?" Hello? That should be your first reaction. Cast that thing out. If you're not going after the devil, and let me share this with you. People who don't do those things is because they're not attacking the devil in the morning. And you know what happens? You'll get bound right back by the letter again, and you'll lose sight of the spirit. And your focus will be on everything else, naturally. Because one of the things the devil wants to do is prevent you from walking in the spirit. So if you're not attacking the devil in the morning, you better be careful. And if you're not binding strong men, and if you're not doing those things, remember, if you're not in the battle, you become a what?
Amen.
Casualty.
Amen.
So you've got to be able to do this, and you've got to be able to discern the fruits of spirits. I'm talking evil spirits. You can't command a spirit to leave unless you know what it is.
Amen.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's not necessary. Amen?
Amen?
And let me tell you something. It's not about a feeling. And you don't have to have some great revelation to cast out a devil or to determine which one it is. You can tell by somebody's actions what kind of spirit it is.
Amen.
You just pray for that person. And it's not about a feeling. If you're looking for a feeling to unction you and all kinds of stuff, you'll never get anything done. If you're looking for a feeling to get in the spirit, it's not about a feeling. It's a choice. Every day is a choice. You make the choice to attack in the morning. You make the choice to do what you're supposed to do. Believe me, sometimes on a Friday night service, I don't feel nothing until later. But I'll see the fruits of something and the Lord will tell me, do it. I'm going to do it. I don't care if there's a manifestation or not. That's not my responsibility. Does everybody get it? You just go there and he'll meet you there. You don't know if that, you know, many times when Jesus prayed for people, it happened within that hour.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you're just looking for the manifestation and get all bummed out because nothing happened, and it's happened to me many times, don't go there. In fact, you don't need to look for a manifestation. And there are people who are seeking the manifestation when they are the Lord.
Amen.
They're waiting for more goosebumps than they are a visitation. Hello? Come on. This is where you got to sever yourself from the things of the flesh and of the soulish realm. And you got to start walking more in the spirit. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. In verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Hello? Fiery darts from the wicked one. It says all of them. So you know what? That means you're going to constantly have fiery darts at you, sometimes all day long. And take the helmet of salvation and the what?
Sword of the Spirit.
Oh, isn't it an amazing thing that here we are at a new covenant of the Spirit?
Amen.
It's not the sword of the flesh. It's not the sword of the feeling. It's not the sword of the letter. It's not the sword of a friend. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. It is the letter that has been anointed by the Spirit spoken through you. That becomes life-changing rhema. That's the sword of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Now look at, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
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 Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, so he's saying, speak the Word in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, which means praying in tongues. Oh. Hello? Praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues.
Hello.
That's why you pray with your understanding, which is your common language, and pray in the Spirit, which means praying in tongues. So that is a part of your full armor, isn't it? You don't hear that all the time, do you? Far be it. That'd be a part of your armor. I'm surprised it's not whited out in the Bible sometimes. But I'm sharing this because it is the ministry of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
If it's the ministry of the Spirit, why aren't we all praying in the Spirit?
Amen.
Because the ones that are bound by the letter, hello?
Hello.
Now, it has nothing to do with salvation, or, you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do. Because there are people who don't pray in tongues that are sweet people, and they're going to go home and they're doing what they can and whatever. But the Word tells us that the Spirit searches the deep things of God.
Hallelujah.
Of God. And we want to search the deep things of God. You know, I get persecuted and all kinds of stuff because the Spirit knows more of what Strong's Concordance means than sometimes what they write about. Hallelujah. You know, you're not going to get to understand something that the Hebrew language has many meanings of one word. You look up in a Strong Concordance, and sometimes I would get frustrated. I'm like, Lord, what good is this concordance? And sometimes it was good, but many times it was like, man, I would get so frustrated because I knew that that's not what I was looking for. You know? And then the Spirit would have to explain the definition to me. See, we need a concordance that's written by the Spirit of definition. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord, not in the concordance. Hallelujah. So we see here that because it is the ministry of the Spirit, we're fighting evil spirits. These are being revealed to us. Amen. That you and I are not only praying the Spirit, but we're also to speak the words of the Spirit, which is the sword of the Spirit, anointed word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God, not every word that's written. There's a difference. Because what you take is written, speak it. Jesus did the same thing. Didn't he say to the devil, it is written? So he took the letter because he was the anointed one and his anointing. And did you notice that he did not go after the devil until the Holy Ghost came upon him?
Amen.
Did you notice that he didn't speak the word except for when going in the synagogues? He didn't go out. He didn't do his ministry. He didn't do anything until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him because the anointing anointed the word.
Amen.
Amen.
See, so even in the New Testament, if people are not walking in the Spirit, it's letter. Okay. That's why it's called the ministry of the Spirit. Everything is about the Spirit. Jesus came into the world to reveal the spiritual realm to me and you, to expose the works of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. He came to not only die for me and you and to cover our sins, but then to leave His Spirit for me and you. Because it's the ministry of the Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians, let's go back one chapter. Ephesians 5:15. Hallelujah. I like where the Holy Ghost goes, man. Because this teaching is supposed to be about two witnesses, and I know we're going to get there. Glory to the Lamb. We're going to get there. He's going to bring us there. I got a few scriptures written down. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Read this with me. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now you got to understand that why are they so evil? Because more evil is being released, and because the spiritual realm has been opened to me and you with understanding. Has everybody got that? So, you know what? If your enemy knows that you know about him, hello, you think he's going to sit still? No. He's going to try and deceive you because Satan's greatest weapon is deception, isn't it? So he's still going to try and deceive you. He's going to try and cause you to fall from the faith. He's going to try and get you to caught up in yourself and everything else instead of the Lord. He'll do everything he can to prevent you from walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
Talking in the Spirit. Hello? Seeing in the Spirit. Receiving the Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Where are we? Thank you. Well, we got one verse out of the way. In verse 16. Oh, okay. In verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Wow, here we go again. Does everybody get it? He didn't say be filled with the letter, he said be filled with the Spirit. Not that we're not supposed to know the letter, but he said be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Wow, not songs in a letter. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, reverence to God. Without the Spirit, it's difficult to have reverence to God. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Is everybody there? Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, here we go again, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, the flesh is a representation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Does everybody understand that? It's not gone yet. It's not gone yet. So just because something you're doing is good, if it's not directed by the Lord, it's the good part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not the tree of life. There's a difference. So even though you think something you're doing is good, if it's not directed by the Lord, it's not from the tree of life, it doesn't produce life. Amen. Come on, everybody get this? Yeah. Because it's the ministry of the Spirit. Well, man, I know I'm doing a good thing for something. Is it producing life? Well, I think so. It feels like I'm doing something good. If it's not directed by the Lord, it's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it doesn't produce life. There's a lot of good people. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven.
Amen.
Come on, does everybody get this?
Amen.
Because it's the ministry of what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. So you want to do the thing that God is directing you to do. You know what? We do this so commonly. We just do anything. Well, the Bible says test all things. Yes. Test. I test things because I believe the Lord told me to. Not because I'm doing it. Does everybody understand that? And you can't just go, well, I believe the Lord told me to do this, 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 and this.
Amen.
Yeah, we're to test all things. Sometimes we are to plant, aren't we? But when you start working something because it's good, if it's not directed by the Lord, it will not produce life.
Amen.
It'll produce more seeds of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why there's a lot of people are doing good things out there. Yeah. Hey, there are a lot of scientists that are doing good things. You know that? They're helping to research cancer. They're doing good things, but it's not producing eternal life. It may produce temporary life, but it's not producing eternal life. Because when it's from the tree of life, it produces eternal life. When it's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it produces something that's temporary. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. Whew. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Hallelujah. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what?
Fear.
But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out,
Father.
Daddy. Help, Daddy. Praise God. Let's go to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Well, it's Acts 1:4.
Amen.
And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now you got to understand something. Jesus was the living, walking Word, wasn't he?
Amen.
He just got done ministering to his disciples. You know what he did? He imparted the letter in them. You know what he said? Don't move. Don't go nowhere. You got to understand, Jesus was, his words were life, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were changing. He was speaking rhema, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His words that were planted in people were changing them. He healed people. He did all kinds of stuff by the Spirit. Now the Spirit planted seeds in people, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he still told his servants, his disciples, he said, don't go out and witness for me. Don't go out and do anything. In fact, he didn't want them to go out because Jesus was leaving, and while Jesus was here, his anointing spread and covered them. So why was he here? When he sent them out two by two, they could go heal the sick and go do this and go do that. Does everybody understand that? But he was leaving, wasn't he? So he told them, listen, don't go out. I'll be with you, but I want to be in you now. Why? Because I want to anoint the letter I've imparted in you. I want to anoint that so that when you speak it, it'll be me speaking through you.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, listen, don't go nowhere. He said in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. In other words, he said, John truly baptized with water, which was the baptism of remission of sin. In fact, in true reality, the baptism of water is a representation of the baptism of blood, because it's the washing away. Has everybody got it? But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You got to understand something. Here you're talking about the tabernacle. The blood, the Word, and the Spirit. Those are the three chambers of the tabernacle. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. So when people repent from their sins, they are washed by the blood. Amen? They accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, which is known as the Word. That's outer court, holy place. When they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they are now what? Walking in life. New creation. Why? Because the seed has been birthed. So we see here, Jesus said, listen, John baptized with water, remission of sin. But not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because the letter that I've imparted in you is going to become anointed, and you're going to be born again, and you're going to be an epistle, and you're going to be a tabernacle of the walking anointing of me. And I'm going to send you out. And in Acts 1:8, he says, but you shall receive what?
Power.
Power. Why? Because the word that was imparted in them was going to be anointed, and they would have power. And that's different. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall what? Be what?
Witnesses.
With what? Power. And you shall receive power, and you'll be a witness to me and to the ends of the earth. Now he said that that would not happen until you are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Why? Because it is the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit. A whole nother realm that was opened up. A whole nother realm. Amen? Praise God. Go to John chapter 1. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 1. Oh, is everybody all right now? John chapter 1 and verse 6. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a what?
Witness.
To bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe, or might what?
Follow.
Sorry, that's not in the concordance of him. It's in the Holy Ghost concordance. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God or of the Spirit. Does everybody get it? And then it says here, in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what?
Grace.
Grace and truth. Now I want to explain some of this. So we see John the Baptist, he was the forerunner. He was the witness of the true witness. Has everybody got it? John the Baptist was the witness of what we call the true witness, which was Jesus, because he was the manifestation. John was not the true light, but he was witness of the light. Amen? Now, I want to go to, and he was also the witness of what? Truth. Does everybody get it? He was the witness of truth. It says that John was the witness of the true light. He was also the witness of the truth. Now we know that John had the Holy Spirit, right? John was the witness of the truth. How many of y'all need to be the witness of the truth?
Yes.
Oh. So God sent two witnesses. He sent John as the forerunner of the true witness. Does everybody understand it? So he sent two witnesses. Good, I'm glad we got that. Go to Revelation 1. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5. And it says, from Jesus Christ the what?
Faithful witness.
Do you all see that? The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see Jesus was known as the faithful witness, isn't he? Because he was the true witness. So John was the forerunner. He was the forerunner of the coming of the Lord. Amen? So he was the witness of the faithful witness in the true witness. Glory to God. Full of truth. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Luke 1. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Oh, praise you, Master. The Lord reigns. In verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall also be filled with the Holy Spirit, because he's a witness, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." He's going to turn many from the letter to the Spirit. "He will also go before him in the spirit and power of" what?
Elijah.
Wow. Now, if you knew Elijah from the Old Testament, he was taken up alive. I mean, that man used to split rivers. Didn't never have to get his feet wet. I mean, you know, that man called, did you name it, he did it. You know, he can call fire down from heaven. He can stop the weather. You know, if you wanted a weather change, call him. That man knew, because he was walking in the Spirit. Hello? Elijah was an anointed man of God that the Lord took up alive. Now, here we see that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the coming of the Lord, so we know that the spirit of Elijah must be manifested again before the coming of the Lord. Amen? Because it's the ministry of the covenant of the Spirit, right? So John was, it was a state of being. It was a representation of the spirit of Elijah, the same spirit that Elijah was walking in, John was going to be walking in. The same anointing that Elijah was walking in, John would be walking in. Is everybody with me? Glory to God. "And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So we know John the Baptist came ahead of time in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the coming of the Lord, because John was a witness of the true witness of light and of truth. Does everybody understand that? Good. Now we know that because of, he was in, under the anointing of Elijah, or the same anointing Elijah had, and it was done by the Spirit of the Lord, right? So we know that this was a characteristic of Christ, you know, or through His Spirit. And if you go to Isaiah 11, you'll see that there is the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit, which is the characteristic of God through His Spirit. In wisdom and knowledge and understanding, in might, right? In counsel, in reverence. Hello? So those are characteristics of God's Spirit. The number seven, there were sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. Number seven meaning complete and perfect, right? That was the fullness of the Spirit. John the Baptist had come in the anointing of Elijah. Elijah was walking in the Spirit. Okay? Go to Mark 1. In verse 9, hallelujah. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming out from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness." So what had happened was the Word that became flesh, was anointed by the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. So you got to understand that The word was being tried, wasn't it? See, after you get the word and you get the anointing, it's time to get tested. Jesus was tested for 40 days. Some of us complain we get tested for a minute. So the word that became flesh was known as the letter, logos, was anointed by the Spirit and became rhema. Is everybody with me? Life-giving, life-changing. Ephesians 2. So of course you must know the word, right?
Amen.
But you better know the Spirit.
Amen.
Too much word will puff you up. Too much Spirit will blow you up. Praise God. Some of us want to get blown up, you know. But balance will grow you up. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:14. Because you can get real granola without having the word, you know. Nutty and fruity. There are people who don't know the word and trying to get, you know, after God has baptized them in the Spirit, then they lay the Bible aside. And you can't just lay the Bible aside. Amen?
Amen.
Because you got to still eat the word to strengthen your spirit and maintain it. Amen? Because the word now becomes meat to you. And you learn, you got to learn how to make your own meals.
Amen.
I don't care if they're microwaved. Just learn how to make them. Believe me, I get a lot of microwave meals. Daddy's got me busy. I got to have microwave meals.
Amen.
Nuke it by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, which is a representation of letter. Because the word became what? Flesh. Hello? So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Wow. So the letter and the anointing was going to become a new man. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Praise God. So we see that putting them both together makes a new man, doesn't it? Hallelujah. In one Spirit to the Father. Glory to God. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Glory to God Almighty. I needed this teaching. I'm telling you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, understand this. I'm not trying to condemn anyone or anything. Does everybody understand that? The purpose of this teaching is to bring us revelation and understanding and to be a witness to those who don't know. Because God is trying to bring His Spirit. You know, so many times people say, well, they invite the Holy Spirit and they don't even yield Him.
Amen.
He's trying to bring us into the Spirit and He's trying to show us how to get to tell somebody else about it. Because people get offended if you tell them that they're bound by the letter. Amen?
Amen.
See, you were a letter, and when the Spirit came into you, you became another man. So the letter is known as the tutor and the Spirit is known as the mentor. So that you can become another man. In fact, even in the book of Samuel, right, King Saul, right, King Saul, who they knew the oracles of God, you know, they knew the commandments, right, they knew how to build the ark and all the other stuff, right, I mean, so he knew the letter, But for him to be able to be a witness and do the right thing and serve God, God had to anoint him with his spirit.
Amen.
And then put him in office as a king.
Amen.
Right? So, you and I were a witness of one to a true witness and became an anointed witness.
Amen.
Anointed witness now of the truth and of the faithful witness. God always has a witness.
Amen.
Always. So we see that two witnesses came in the new covenant. John was the forerunner, anointed, witnessing of the faithful and true witness, who was Jesus. Because Jesus was the incarnate of the Spirit. He was the Spirit of God. Amen. He was God Himself. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die." Now Adam was a witness. "Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ in his" what? "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." Now go to verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last man, Adam, became a" what? "Life-giving spirit." Wow. So you see that there were still two witnesses, wasn't there? There was two Adams. "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so are also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." So that's what's awaiting for us, the completion of our salvation and redemption. So we see here that there was two witnesses also. There was the Adam of the dust and the Adam of the spirit, wasn't there? And the Word is what created all things, didn't it? So the dust represented the letter. And it died.
Amen.
And for it to come alive again, the letter had to be anointed. So the letter became flesh and came into the world. And was anointed by the Spirit for each and every man. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 17. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 17. Okay, now I want you to back up and go to... You can stay here. You're right real close. You probably don't have to do anything. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 28. Come on, I just want to go up one little... "Surely I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Hallelujah.
"Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I'm sure they were a little freaked out. I want you to understand something. First of all, he said, some will be standing here who will not taste death. Now after 6 days, the 6 days represent 6,000 years. Okay? From Adam to Christ is 4,000 years. Right? From, we're at 2003, aren't we? So we've already completed the 6,000 years. Does everybody understand that? We're going into the 7,000th year, which means complete and perfect. Because it says after 6 days, so we know we had to complete the 6,000 years. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain and two witnesses showed up, Elijah and Moses. I want to share a couple things with you. Remember where John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, right? Okay. Now that we're after the 6,000 years, right? This is also a representation of the rapture of the church. But before the church is raptured, it's going to have witnesses. In other words, there's going to be a forerunners. And what's going to happen is the forerunners are going to represent the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses. So the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses must be manifested on the earth with the body of Christ, because in this transfiguration, Jesus was on the earth. So the body of Christ is now on the earth in representation of Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
And the two witnesses that we have right now in the spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah is Sharon of Israel, who is in the spirit of Moses, and Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, who is President Bush.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Bush is the anointed one. He's anointed. He's here in the spirit of Elijah. And Sharon of Israel is in the spirit of Moses. And the body of Christ is here. Does everybody understand it? So the two witnesses must go forth. Let me share something with you. We know that this last Saturday the shuttle busted.
Amen.
Okay, we're already in the 7,000. We completed the 6,000 years going towards the 7,000. There were seven astronauts, meaning complete and perfect. And there were two witnesses in there bringing blood together, the Jew and the Gentile.
Yes.
United States and Israel.
Yes.
Has come together closer now than they've ever been. Closer now than they've ever been. Does everybody understand that? Moses represents the letter. Elijah represents the spirit.
Amen.
Moses represents the law. And is not Israel still in representation of the law? Because even when we just read, and even when Moses is read, the veil still lies upon them. That's why they're going through so much garbage, because they rejected the spirit, Jesus. Does everybody get it? When he came, because they rejected their Messiah and their deliverer, and it was turned over to the Gentiles. Okay, and the United States was chosen. That's why we have the Statue of Liberty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
Hello? It's a place of freedom.
Amen.
In fact, Christopher Columbus, they believe, was a Jew who was prophesied over his uncle, who was a believer. And Christopher was a believing, he was a Messianic Jew. He was a believer of Jesus Christ. Because when they found his ships, they found writings of him, he was celebrating the seven feasts. So even though he was a Christian, he was a Jewish Christian. It was prophesied over him by his uncle that he would find a land of freedom, or a place where they could worship the Lord without any problems. So you got to understand, it was a Jew that found this land. A Messianic Jew who found this land. Come on, man. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Praise God. So now we see something here. Okay. No, hold on now. Now we just read that. So we got to understand what happens in Israel. Israel is a representation of the church. Okay? So we got to see that. Remember it says that things don't begin in the spirit first, they begin in the natural. Remember we just read that?
Right.
Israel is a representation of the natural. United States is a representation of the spiritual. So what you're seeing going on over there is happening here. Now listen, hold on. Sharon just got reelected. I'm telling you, Bush will be reelected.
Amen.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
Because you see what's going on there, it's going on over here. But it just brought us closer together. The shuttle explosion was a unity, because people always come together in disasters. It was a blood sacrifice. And unity between Israel and United States as blood brothers. See, Jesus had half brothers, didn't he? No, I'm not going to go on there. Okay. So we see that there's the uniting of all of this. Why? Because the two witnesses in the Spirit. Now we know that there's going to be a manifestation, because remember this. So you and I are actually walking in this, and as the forerunners in the spirit of Elijah, right? Is the return of Christ. You and I, the body of Christ, is preparing those for the return of the Lord, aren't we? And we're out there preaching and doing this and discipling. Why? In preparation for the return of the Lord, because you and I are in the spirit of Elijah. I'm telling you, when I was a baby in Christ and I didn't know nothing, I went up for prayer, in a morning prayer, and dude laid his hands on me and said, the spirit of John the Baptist, and all this stuff he was saying over me. I don't remember all this stuff. Then I finally had to look it up and said, okay, what's the spirit of John the Baptist? Well, it was the spirit of Elijah. Because that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. But it's done by the anointing, not by the letter. And that's where the division comes from. Because there are those who are still walking in the spirit of Moses and not the spirit of Elijah. Hello?
Amen.
And the veil still lies there. But we see that the two witnesses are on the earth right now in the spirit of. So we know that it's in the natural realm. So we know that the true spiritual witnesses are going to come. Don't we? Amen? Okay. Praise God. Turn to Zechariah 4. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, even, you know, it was just brought to me about the space shuttle Columbia. How about Columbus? Hallelujah. You know? Praise God. Zechariah. Come on, don't hide from me now. Zechariah chapter 4. In verse 1, now the angel of the Lord who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on the top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. And he came with the fullness of what? Grace, Jesus. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered to him, I further asked and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Golden oil. And he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Now who stood beside the Lord of the whole earth? Elijah and Moses. They are known as the anointed ones. If you go back in history and you find out about Sharon, that man was the one that took the land and so forth during the war. And they got back Israel, and Israel became a nation in 1967. And you know, we have a teaching on the rapture and the cycles of 40. And the cycles of 40. So I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But anyways, so we see that the two anointed ones, God has chosen these two men to be here at this time. It's prophetic. Like I said, Moses will be reelected, most likely. Amen. Bush, yeah. Moses will be reelected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses has already been elected. That's right. Sharon's already been reelected. We see what happens in Israel. It's going to happen here. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. We'll close here. Revelation 11 and verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And we know that this is to come. And I'll give power to my what?
Two witnesses.
So who's going to have power? United States and Israel.
Amen.
But the two witnesses he's talking about who are going to come. Now some people believe that it's Elijah and Enoch. Because Enoch was taken up alive and so was Elijah.
Right.
Moses died. The Lord buried Moses. The Lord buried Moses.
Amen.
And the Lord sent an angel to take Moses' body when Satan tried to take Moses' body. Because Satan is a representation of death, and God was going to allow that to happen, so Moses has his body, but he's got a glorified body. That's why he could appear to the Lord. Him and Elijah, see, Moses was returned. And actually, Moses represents those who are dead in Christ who will be resurrected, and Elijah represents those who will be taken up alive in the day of rapture. Okay. Everybody, we have a whole teaching on that. I don't want to get it. And I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, which is 3.5 years. And these are the two olive trees, which we just talked about. And the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Hello? And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. Well, who called fire down? Elijah. And if anyone wants to hurt them, he must be killed and hit in this manner, by fire. These have power to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood. That was Moses's, wasn't it? And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. I'm telling you, man. These people who have... This is during tribulation. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. God will allow that to happen. Death always, tragedy always brings a witness. It always brings something, doesn't it? And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city with which spiritually is called Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom and Egypt, I'm sorry, where also our Lord was crucified. And Jesus rose 3 days, didn't he? After three days, right? Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their bodies to be put into the graves because they'll be boasting over what they just did. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another. They're going to have Santa Claus thing. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them and they stood on their feet and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. Amen. The two witnesses. Just a little touch tonight of what's happening prophetically. A little understanding. And remember, you're the forerunners. It's your job and my job to prepare the coming of the Lord. Because we're walking in the spirit of Elijah. But that's where the controversy is in the body of Christ. Spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses. The body of Christ is supposed to be walking in the spirit of Elijah, not the spirit of Moses. Hello? That's where the problem is. And the God of this age has blinded them from the gospel of truth. And they blinded them. And who's the God of this age? Satan. Amen? Praise God. So let's not give up and let's not grow weary. Because God has called you to prepare His coming. Is to be a witness in power, in truth, and in spirit. Just remember what's going on right now. More things are about to happen. We know that God is going to continue to pour out His Spirit. We want to stay clean. We want to stay separated. We don't want to get granola'd, nutty and fruity. We want the Word to be anointed. We want to walk in truth and in power. Don't look back. It don't matter. Hello? It don't matter. Keep going forward. Accept what God has done for you. Accept it. People have a hard time accepting certain things. People are going to have a hard time accepting this teaching. But you know what? We have a choice. We have a choice. Make the choice. Get in the Spirit and do the right thing. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for Your witness and we thank You for Your witnesses. Lord, let us be a witness that's pleasing to You, sons and daughters that are pleasing to You. And establish us, Lord, with Your truth, with Your grace, with Your power, with Your love, and with Your presence. I pray a blessing over each and every one here, Lord. Draw them and guide them for Your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
amen and hallelujah.